All right, welcome to this week's Walk and Talk. And we have got a crazy one today. We're going to be talking about the chaos on the streets of Paris right now. Paris is indeed burning, or at least it was last night before they put the fires out. It is carnage. We're going to talk about the win for the Netherlands, the UK budget, the bank bailout, all sorts of other stuff. And this is my second time recording this video. I've just been walking around for an hour recording, and the camera failed right at the end and it saved none of the footage. So yeah, that's a good start to the day, isn't it? And just a reminder that I record these videos on Friday morning. So if any news breaks by the time this comes out on the Friday night, then that's why it isn't covered. So with my arms aching now, I'm gonna do it all over again. This is my workout for the day, holding this camera and everything in front of me as we do the walk all over again. So let's begin then with what happened overnight in Paris.
Paris became a battleground late Thursday as police tried to quell angry protesters after the French government pushed through an unpopular pensions bill without a vote.
This is absolute tyranny. There's no other way to describe it.
Some people flung cobblestones at the authorities, who responded with tear gas and water cannon. Fires burned in the streets nearby and cars were set alight.
So what happened then? Well, you know how we've been talking for a while now about the protests over in France. Millions of people on the street, not thousands like the media says. It's millions of people protesting. Even the politicians don't want to pass this new law, which is to raise the pension age from 62 to 64, because it is theft. That is what it is. If you've worked your whole life and you've paid into the system, then it is theft to then raise the pension age 2 years later. You are stealing 2 years from people. So the politicians didn't want it. The people didn't want it. It wouldn't have passed. So what happened? Macron, who you know I do not like at all, another Young Global Leader program from the WEF, he just went ahead and used these constitutional powers to pass it without a vote, without it going through parliament. He just passed it all on his own. And this is why I say this is tyranny. It's absolutely shocking that one man can have that much power, that he can just pass a law like that. And that's it, basically. But he doesn't care because he's not going to run again for the next election. You see, this is how it works with these leaders. They come in, they do the damage, and then they move on. It's like with Liz Truss in the UK, look what happened there. Look what happened with Matt Hancock, the health secretary, and all these other people. They come in, they do a lot of this damage, and then they leave, but the damage is still done. You think about Rishi Sunak as well. He wasn't voted. If you're not from the UK, then he's the prime minister. He wasn't voted in. People don't seem to sort of acknowledge these things. So this is why we keep having so many problems now by these unelected officials, and they just have these crazy levels of power that shouldn't exist. Now, the other thing is you keep hearing about these laws that are passed under emergency powers, but what you don't hear is that once the emergency has gone away, they don't change the law back. They give the powers back, but they don't change the law back, you see. So what you're left with is the rule they put in place under emergency powers. And they use all sorts of excuses for this. Think about what happened in Canada and what Trudeau passed with truckers and everyone else. These emergency powers and all these back doors now into banks, confiscate money and everything else. We'll come on to banks in a moment as well. Well, not in a moment, shortly, because there's been another bank bailout of this time First Republic. And this one is huge. But before we do that, I want to come on to the Netherlands then, where they've just had a big win. In fact, let me read it out to you so I can get this accurately. The populist farmer citizen movement wins big in the Dutch election. With 94% of the votes counted, the BBB has been confirmed as the largest party in 9 of the 12 provinces and has an unassailable lead in Gelderland. The results are a setback for the government's effort to cut nitrogen compound emission by buying out the farmers in order to comply with European conservation laws. Again, that is not me saying it. That is the official report from the media. So what they are kind of not saying there, I guess, is that there was only, what, 10,000 farms, I think we came to the conclusion of at the moment, in the Netherlands, and they wanted to buy out, compulsory purchase order, 9,800 farms. Why? Because they want to comply with the EU nitrogen emissions. But they couldn't quite get there, so they had to bring in the methane emissions as well. And that's how they did it, because they said, oh, these cows, all these cow farts that are killing the planet. So we've got to get rid of all of your cows and dairy farms and everything else. So this is how they've managed to get this passed. But it looks as though if this is accurate and this new party comes in, that could be reversed. Although I wouldn't hold my breath for that, because we've seen things like this in other EU countries and it hasn't necessarily made any difference. So I'll believe it when I see it. All right, let me tell you about the bank bailout then, because I know some of you will be wanting to hear about this more importantly than Dutch farmers and other things. So 11 banks have just agreed to bail out First Republic, which is the one I said this week, I think is probably next on the chopping block. So they've bailed them out to the tune of $30 billion in uninsured deposits. This is crazy. So, oh, they're heroes. These banks, they're heroes. Saving First Republic. No, they're not heroes. They've done it to save their own necks. That is what a sort of coalition is. They know that if they didn't bail First Republic out, they would have been next. So all the ones that you've seen, these 11, watch them closely. This is what the media is not saying. These 11 that have done it, why have they done it? It's obvious to me anyway. Let me read out which ones. Bank of America, Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo. We keep talking about Wells Fargo. Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, BNY Mellon, PNC Bank, State Street, Truist, and US Bank. But it's not just that. There's a lot more to this story. Now, First Republic have just extended their credit line with the Fed. Again, why would you give a credit line, especially at 5.09%, to a bank that couldn't manage their finances when the rates were close to zero? So what do you think they're going to do now when it's 5%? It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. This is just a ticking time bomb. And all these pundits are saying, oh, look, it proves they're so strong because they've been bailed out and given all these credit lines. No, they've been given the credit lines because of the new deposits that have been put in. That is their collateral in order to get credit lines. This is how loans work. It's unbelievable to me that these experts on CNBC and all these at Bloomberg, and that they don't understand this. This is such basic economics and they don't understand it. We've just had a funny report come out as well today. And that is, remember Deutsche Bank we talk about, where their stock has been suffering in the last week? Well, the Deutsche Bank CEO was paid 8.9 million euros in 2022 for his performance at the bank. Imagine earning 9 million in 1 year. 9 million. That would be a very nice payday. You would never have to work a day in your life ever again. And he got that in 1 year. And we keep hearing that the bankers' bonuses are not excessive. Well, I don't know. I don't know what excessive is to you, but 9 million. Yes, please. I'll take that. Thank you very much. What else we got then? The government. Oh, this is an interesting one. The government's independent forecaster just announced that people are facing the biggest fall in spending power for over 70 years. It gets worse. He said that UK household standard of living will drop by around 6% this year and a similar amount next year. Now, they didn't explain it, so let me just tell you why that is. If you think about wages and how they've gone up very slowly, and then you think about how inflation has gone up very quickly, well, you've got a difference there of what they are calling 6%. I actually think it's more than 6%, but you know, just for ease with a lot of these videos, I go along with the government figures, and then once in a while I will drop in what I think the figures are, which is usually double what the government figures are. And we won't get into all of that today actually as to why, but one of the reasons is around pensions and other things. So they went on to say the UK remains on track for a disastrous decade of stagnant incomes and high taxes despite cuts to public services. So this was from the Resolution Foundation. And they said that household incomes, disposable incomes, were set to be significantly lower by the end of the forecast period in 2027 to 2028. Britain's economy remains stuck in a deep funk, with people in work but getting poorer and paying more tax but seeing public services cut. Yeah, so you've basically got loads going on there, and they're not even sort of acknowledging the true cost of inflation. They give you their own figures, which just aren't accurate. Now, you think about the last decade, what's happened to UK wages. The average wage as of April last year, 2022, was £33,000. Now, that's only increased by 25% over the last decade. Now, what do you think inflation has done over the last decade? Has that just been 25% accumulated? Absolutely not. No way. In fact, if you remember my forecast, I think that the West is going to see much lower standards of living over the next 10, 20 years. I think the USA is going to have the biggest drop in standard of living. And I just roughly off the top of my head, because I haven't got my spreadsheet in front of me, I think you could see 20%, easily a 20% drop over the next 10, 20 years. You could even see that in the next couple of years if things continue going from bad to worse. But if the US ever loses its reserve currency status, forget about it. 40% would be the minimum that the standard of living would drop by. I think people would get an absolute shock as to what would happen in the USA. That's without even looking at all the social problems and political problems and the polarization at the moment in the US, which is one of the reasons why eventually, by the way, I didn't tell you this, my visa did come through for the USA. They said, oh yeah, you're approved, you can come in. I was like, no thank you. Straight in the bin, or the trash, as you would say in America. Straight in the trash is what I did with that visa. I didn't want to come across now. If I hadn't have seen how amazing this island is that I live on, then yeah, I probably would have done. So that saved me there. But I do want to talk about the UK budget that's been announced there. And there's a lot in there. You don't really need to know most of this stuff. It's pretty boring and they're not really saying much. But one thing that's important for you is that your energy bill cap that was supposed to end in April has been extended by 3 months. So now it's the end of June. So it gives you a little bit more time if you haven't yet prepared, as I keep saying, to prepare. You've got a little bit more time now to prepare for this. What does that mean? Find some alternative lower cost energy. And I keep having people say, you know, when I recommend wood burners, for example, and people say, yeah, but Neil, they're so expensive. This one was £1,000, you know, and whatever else. Yeah, it's £1,000, but think how much your gas bill will cost. It's going to be a lot more than £1,000, believe me. And for all the people who keep saying, no, no, Neil, the government would never, you know, allow our bills to go up as much as you think. Really? Really? Because I think they would. They've already done it to the businesses, and you're seeing businesses collapsing all over the place. So I do think they would do it to the citizens. They've done a lot worse to the citizens in the last 2 or 3 years. Let's just say that. Now, the other thing that they've announced is these low carbon initiatives. So this is a $20 billion project, a $20 billion initiative. And the thing that I'm a bit baffled by is that they said our focus is going to be on carbon capture and storage. Well, do you know how much this technology costs? It costs a fortune. And I always laugh at that infographic. I'll see if I can find it. If not, then I won't put it on screen. But it was all about this, how much this technology costs versus planting a tree. You know, you can plant like hundreds of trees for the same cost of one of these machines. It might even be thousands of trees, actually. But of course, Bill Gates said, no, 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 trees don't help in carbon capture at all. No, they're just not useful. Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, they've only been doing the job for, you know, since forever, basically. But no, trees, which are completely made of carbon, no, no, they're not going to help in carbon capture. Okay. What we really need is these really expensive big machines that capture it all. Okay, yeah, sure. But what they actually need is to invest in more energy. That is what they need. It always makes me laugh at how much sort of hydro electricity is around the UK. It is an island nation with a lot of tidal power, and they don't focus on capturing this tidal power, all the rivers, all the waterfalls, and they don't focus on capturing any of this. It is baffling. The other thing they should focus on is storage, actual energy storage. If they did that, then we wouldn't have the same sort of worries and concerns as well, because then you can get sort of bulk rate, you can buy your energy at better rates because you can buy more of it, you can buy more and store it when it's cheap, and then when prices are higher, you don't need to. It's the same concept if you have an oil tank at home. I know some of you will buy heating oil or kerosene, etc. Do you buy it when it's at the really high price? No, you wait until you probably get down to your last 10%. You say, okay, I'm gonna have to buy now, but you might only buy 20%, 30%, but you don't fill your tank all the way up. Then if you see a massive price drop, you fill your tank to the top and then just hope and pray that prices are down by the time you come to fill up again. But the government doesn't seem to think this way. And in fact, if you think about the US and their strategic petroleum reserve, which is on its knees, really, really low, good luck with that one. They need to fill that stuff up when it's cheap, when prices are cheap. They've also allocated then £63 million to get people back into work. But what people? Is it the young people who are still scared to return to the workplace? Nope, they've allocated it for over 50s. This is who they want back into the workplace. Good luck with that, because I think you're gonna struggle to get a lot of the over 50s back into the workplace. It's the same psychology behind why a lot of the young people are too afraid to come back into the workplace, because of health concerns. I'll pass no comment on that. Young, fit, healthy people. Because once you create a habit in someone, it's hard to break. And if you think you're gonna get now people who have retired and are enjoying retirement back into the workplace when they don't have to, unless there's a massive financial collapse and all of their assets go to zero or something, or not to zero, but you know what I mean. If their assets go down significantly, that's how you're going to get them back in, because you're going to reach tipping point theory and they're going to have to then come back into the workplace. But apart from that, I just don't see how you're going to encourage all of these people back into the workplace that don't want to be in the workplace. Now, the next one they talked about was government debt. And they expect this debt to be around 94% of GDP and to continue like this for a long time. Yet, this one made me laugh. So they're expecting growth next year, the year after, and the year after that. They honestly think they're going to get GDP growth. How? I'm not entirely sure. And even more crazy is they've said that we're going to bring inflation down from 10.7% to 2.9% by the end of the year. I'm not even sure those figures are correct that they've actually put on the BBC website here. But let me tell you one thing. There is no way inflation is going to be 2.9% by the end of this year. There's just no way. They're still creating now currency, which pushes inflation up. I honestly just don't know what they are thinking with some of these forecasts. I think it's all just hopeism. Is that the word? I did this before, didn't I? I used this word on a walk and talk, and I was like, I should have looked up what the right word is there. Hopism, something like that. But the other one that just made me just hit, you know, it's like a facepalm on this one. They're raising the corporation tax rate from 19% to 25% under the Growth Act. Hold on. So you want to encourage more business growth in the UK, more businesses to come to the UK by increasing the corporation tax rate. Honestly, who came up with that plan? They need to be fired right away. That is ridiculous. That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Why would you, let's say you're in the Republic of Ireland and your corporation tax rate is 12.5%. Why would you move your company to the UK and pay 25%? That makes no sense at all. And if you're in the UK and you're paying 19% and you knew your taxes were going to go up to 25%, I know what I would do. I would move my company somewhere else. I mean, this stuff doesn't make any sense. I don't know who's coming out with these policies. The next one then is that they've announced they're going to raise defense spending, which, let me put that into layman's terms, weapons and military by £11 billion over the next 5 years. That, ladies and gents, is a significant sum of money. It's enormous. And you know why? It's because we know where this is going, this whole conflict. We know where it's going. We know where it's leading. They've already talked about it. They let the cat out the bag with Operation Mobilize, which they announced way too soon, I think. And if you don't know what that is, look into it, because you're probably going to be affected with the mobilization of civilians, as the general said. But the thing that I find interesting is that they couldn't find £7 million for the food program. They couldn't find £4.5 million for the heating program. So these are for the most vulnerable people in society who we should really look after in terms of the government should look after these people and help them out. Now, they couldn't find the money for that, but they found £11 billion. Okay, so not M, but a B, to buy more weapons and things. I mean, this is what's wrong with the world at the moment. We've got all this money for weapons, but we haven't got money to help our most vulnerable people in society. The love has just gone, is the way I see it now, which is just a real, real shame. And we're seeing what's happened with politics, and now we've got this infiltration Young Global Leaders program, which they're really proud about. I just think it's a shame. I think it's a real shame, everything that's going on here. Another thing then, if you're in the UK and you're going on holiday this summer, get your passport renewed now if you need it renewed, because the passport office is about to go on strike. So 1,000 members of staff are going to be going on strike. So you know what this means? It's going to be similar to what happened with Royal Mail. It's not necessarily the strike that causes the problems, although it does cause the problems. It's the backlog afterwards, which takes months and months to clear. So if you think you're going to, you know, get your expedited passport or whatever else, everyone is going to think the same thing. Everyone's going to try and get their expedited passport so they can go on their, you know, exotic holiday or wherever you're going to go, or even if it's just to Spain. So make sure you get your passport ASAP before this strike, otherwise you're gonna regret not getting it. Well, I think we could continue on for a long time yet. There's still a lot more that I could talk about, but I think we'll probably wrap it up there today. Some of the other stuff is just more of the same. Thanks for watching. I hope you got a lot out of the content this week. I know it was quite heavily on banking and the banking collapse, but it's because I think it's really important. What is more important for most people and families than making sure your money is secure? So that's why I've been so focused on this stuff this week, because these are some of the things I've been warning about for a long time. And again, I don't think this banking crisis is over. I really don't. I think that you're going to see some more yet with this banking crisis. All they've done is just put a little stopper on it at the moment. But it isn't resolved. In fact, it's actually worse than before. All right, well, I will close there then. I'm going to go and see my horse friends. Unfortunately, I haven't brought any carrots or apples for them today, so they're going to be very disappointed. But I'll have to bring double the next time. I'll put it on some B-roll here. All right, thanks for watching. Take care. God bless you and your family. And I will see you next week now. Have a great weekend. How are you today? Hey, you good? And your friend? We've got a fair few abandoned buildings here. So we'll go and look at this one in a second. Actually, it's quite a lot more. Right in the center there, covered by ivy. That looks like an old house. It actually looks like it's an entire farm abandoned over there. Yeah, here we go. That's that house. And look, even there's a car covered by bramble here. Gosh, look at that. It's amazing, actually, how fast houses deteriorate here when they're abandoned. And you actually get a lot of houses being just abandoned. This used to be someone's lounge. And someone's kitchen as well. Funny enough, I actually need some cast iron downpipes at the moment. They are very hard to find on the island. because my house that I bought is a historic home, so we're renovating it, trying to get it back to how it should look. There's even an oil tank in there. So with the price of oil we were just talking about, I wonder if there's some in there. But look at that roof, that has done really well. It is still standing. That's quite amazing, actually. I could do with that roofer. Yeah, this farm's abandoned for sure. That's new.